Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN TV newsroom. And Ben, thank you. And we're watching here the Jason Van Dyke trial. And the judge has just thrown out some testimony from the FBI witness who was describing some video. And what the FBI did an analysis of the video of the shooting of Laquan McDonald, and they threw it out. The judge saying that there was really nothing of value that hasn't already been learned by this jury.
Yeah, it is just one of several interesting moments today. I thought so far the most powerful moment has been the testimony from Jason Van Dyke's partner that night, Joe Walsh, who himself has been facing some scrutiny and charges. And Joe Walsh has been, a witness who stood in the well of the courtroom and very vividly for jurors described his view of the moments leading up to Laquan McDonald's shooting. At one point, he's standing there describing the stare and focus. He said this video that we've all seen on TV for years now, and the jury has seen several times already, doesn't show the incident from Walsh's perspective or Jason Van Dyke's perspective. They say from where they were standing, which if you're looking at the video, it's to the left of Laquan McDonald,
right. Doesn't
show the menacing nature, doesn't accurately show his movements. And Walsh has been pretty forceful in his testimony that he thought Jason Van Dyke was well within his right to shoot and to shoot repeatedly. At one point, a defense attorney said someone had to stop this guy, correct? Yes, is how Walsh responded.
Remind us, we don't have access to other body cam videos, shots that might have shown more of their perspective or close.
Yeah, one other thing that this case really revealed was the shoddy nature of the police dash cam program at this time.
These weren't body cams.
That's right, they weren't at that time.
These were dash cams. And dash cams. Even the microphones that the officers were supplied with to record audio, a couple of them were left in a glove compartment. One of them, the batteries were put in either intentionally or unintentionally incorrectly. We only do have the perspective of this one dash camera and then some surveillance footage from a couple of nearby businesses to show this incident. The other powerful moment today was a timeline that was provided. And Stacey Sinclair at the Tribune has been doing a great job covering this trial. Pointed out it was less than 60 seconds from the moment Jason Van Dyke fired until fellow officers with a taser arrived. And keep in mind, that's what other officers have testified, that they were waiting for that unit with a taser to come. And some officers testified yesterday they were showing patience. They were just trying to stall Laquan McDonald until that taser unit arrived.
Right. He was moving, though, in a way. He'd started to move in a much faster way than he had. He'd run away from the police after he'd stabbed the tire on the police vehicle and tried to chip up the window with his knife. They stopped there. Those guys never get out of their car. One was already out of the car behind, but
right.
Then the driver of that car did not get out
of
the car.
Was kind of keeping up with his partner.
Right. And then Laquan McDonald slashed that tire, punctured that tire and dropped it. And so this is when those guys stopped, and then you see another vehicle where you get the video of it. That vehicle is moving. That's the video we've all seen, where that vehicle is moving behind him slowly, and then you've got Officer Van Dyke and his partner arriving from, as you point out, on camera left. And then as you look ahead, there's other vehicles arriving coming in that direction, but the taser car had not been there yet. Now, in the aftermath of this, there are far more tasers on the street. There's body cams and all of that. There's a change in the protocol. So you have to put this in the perspective of what was available to them at that time. And Jason Van Dyke is the testimony will show, and he's going, and if he testifies, there, as you just heard from Walsh today, his partner, that there was, and Walsh said he would have shot if it weren't for Van Dyke being in his way. Right.
He also said he was initially startled at the gunfire, but then thought his partner was well within his right to shoot.
All right.
So interesting testimony. Julie Unruh is going to have that for us at 4 o'clock today.
And we're going to pick up on it now because they've just sent the jury home for the day. We're going to pick up on it on CLTV coming up here in just a few minutes as well. So we'll see you tonight, 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir. All right, Ben Bradley, WGN-TV Newsroom. Judy Pilak standing by in the Northwestern Medicine WGN Newsroom right after this. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mike Monaco joins us, our legal analyst for the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And we also were very proud to have him, one of the nation's premier legal minds. And he joins us free of charge. And that is really something.
It's a big deal for us because we can't really afford his rates.
Gigantically big job. All right. Eric Rung has been in the courtroom today. He's been at 26 in California as the Jason Van Dyke trial has been going on throughout the day. And he joins us now just to get us up to date. Probably the two biggest things that have happened today. One, the judge threw out some testimony by an FBI witness from Quantico who was analyzing the video, dash cam video of the shots, in terms of as the shots were being fired and where they were entering the body. Isn't that the...
he was a video forensic expert. However, the judge threw out his testimony because he was basically testifying about bullets, and that would be ballistics. And the judge didn't find that it was going to help the jury understand what was happening in this case. And as throughout this case, Judge Gunn is really, when he sees something happening, he starts asking questions, and then he decides and makes his rulings on that.
So did the judge, was the testimony heard, and the judge didn't delete it, or what did he do?
Yeah, he struck it from the record. Basically, what happened was the prosecution called him and asked him about the video, how he made the video. Basically, what he did was he slowed it way down, and it was played for the jury several times. And then what he did was he said he sat with a ballistic expert with the FBI, and that helped him determine what he thought were bullets. And the what he was looking at, basically, is if you really slow down that video, you can see and I'm sorry to be so graphic here, but basically puffs of smoke coming from either right around Laquan McDonald or from Laquan McDonald himself as the shots were being fired.
So there was no cross-examination of this witness, but the judge deleted his testimony, struck his testimony.
Yeah, that's correct. Daniel Herbert got up and started asking him a lot of questions, basically saying, how do you know these are bullets? How do you know that these bullets actually hit Laquan McDonald? How do you know that they didn't hit the ground? And he couldn't answer those questions. He just said, basically over and over again, I sat with the ballistic expert, and this is what I believe to be happening. And finally, Judge Gunn said, well, enough of this believe stuff. You're supposed to be an expert.
Well, Mike Monaco, I'd ask you that. The judge tells him to totally disregard this entire testimony and actually said in court this is not his area of expertise. Disregard it. Isn't that a fail by the prosecutors to put up somebody like that?
Yeah, it is. It doesn't look good for the prosecution for them to do that. And so, sort of surprising to me that it got that far, because once assuming the state says this man's an expert, they have to qualify him as an expert. And at that point, if the judge doesn't think he's an expert, then he doesn't testify. But apparently he went beyond that.
He had never testified before. He had never.
Yeah, so he's not. He wasn't.
Well, what the judge did qualify him for was to be a video expert. That's what he was originally called for.
Oh, boy.
However, it started getting into the ballistics when he started putting up the arrows and saying that this is where I believe the shots hit Laquan McDonald.
Right.
All right. I would say that there were three moments today that were not particularly good for the prosecution. That was one of them. The other one, I think, most importantly here, was the testimony. They brought up the former partner who was in the car former officer Joseph Walsh, who came up and said, you know, he got out of the car. He did not fire. And they thought that was going to be, you know, a significantly important moment here that you know, well, your partner didn't fire. You know, why did you fire? But he was testifying to he acknowledged that he was looking at this from the same angle that Van Dyke was looking at it from. And he saw this as potentially dangerous, and that he thinks it was a supportable shooting, even though he was startled by the opening of the shots, by the sound of the shots, you know, which is,
yeah,
you know.
Well, he did say that it was a very dangerous situation. He also said, however, that he did not see Laquan McDonald threaten him or any member of the public, meaning the pedestrians or possibly people in Burger King or possibly people in Dunkin' Donuts. That's been brought up several times. He said that, you know, their goal was to make sure that never happened, that he never got inside, Dunkin' Donuts. And he had to, when asked several times by the prosecution, did you see him make any threatening moves toward anybody on Pulaski? No. Were there any pedestrians? No. So he did say that several times. However, that the part where you're talking about where he did have his gun drawn, but he didn't fire, Jason Van Dyke did, they asked him about that. And the question I thought was interesting, the question that the prosecution asked him was, if you believe that your partner's life was in danger, would you have taken action? And he said, well, I think Jason Van Dyke had the situation under control.
Yeah,
which, I agree with you, Ro, that was a kind of a blow to the prosecution.
Yes, he said Officer Van Dyke took the necessary action to save himself and myself.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So there again, Mike, I guess I would ask you, why would the state call on him if he's somebody who's been granted immunity? I know they cut a deal with him. He is somebody who the inspector general found made false statements and left the job before they could fire him. All that is true. I don't know how big of a deal they made of that in court, but why call him if he's just going to back up
possibly,
use of force?
Possibly it's because the prosecution did not want Van Dyke's people to call him first. So they called him. And got out the fact that he's on immunity, which means that the testimony can't be used against him.
But doesn't that even hurt him more? Because doesn't that hurt the prosecution more if the testimony is supportive of Van Dyke and he has immunity and it's supportive of Van Dyke?
So he should be truthful.
So it should be that, I mean, you would imagine the prosecution is going to give you immunity, then you're going to be testifying, you know, to help their case, right, not to hurt their case.
Yeah, and I think Randy Rueckert, who's a very good lawyer, asked Walsh, somebody had to stop this guy, didn't he? And Walsh said yes. And he said the guy with the knife. And he said yes. That is the key to the defense case. Right there, those questions.
All right.
The other thing that I found extremely interesting about his testimony, and I was sitting in the courtroom for this, and I don't recall the defense asking him to get up from the witness box when he was going to demonstrate what his perspective of McDonald was, him and Van Dyke's perspective of McDonald was, as he was walking down Pulaski. And the other thing that I thought was very interesting was that the state didn't object to Walsh getting out of the witness box, standing in front of the jury, and basically demonstrating what he saw and how it was a different perspective than what we have all seen on that videotape time and time again. And basically what Walsh said was that, and again I'm paraphrasing here, was that McDonald was walking, and at one point before the shots, just prior to the shots, he had raised his right arm, which his hand had the knife in his right hand, and then kind of opened his shoulders to Van Dyke and Walsh. And that is when Van Dyke opened fire.
Now, he did testify also, this is the partner, testified that he flinched when he heard the shots, which, you know, could be damning evidence against Van Dyke. So it surprised the flinch means you're surprised by that. Do you think that had impact?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
On the jury? Or?
Yeah, on the jury. Or impact in the room. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to tell what the jury's thinking. But was that impactful when he said that he flinched? Because I know that that's a cutout line that's being used here by some of the people who are following this.
I would say really only because of the testimony later on that he gave, because when he said he flinched, then that would lead you to believe that, and he actually said something to the effect of, I wasn't expecting it, or I didn't know that was coming, and that's why he flinched. Huh? It wasn't like one of those moments where everybody in the courtroom kind of went,
right. It's interesting because
it definitely had an impact, but I think in this later testimony, especially what he said about why he didn't fire his gun, maybe kind of counteracted that a little bit.
Well, he also said that the victim was a threat. And that he was a threat even when he was on the ground, he was a threat.
Right. All right. Hold on one second. Eric, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll come right back to Mike Monaco and a legal analysis of what has happened here on WGN Radio and CLTV. Legal analysis of what's happened today in the courtroom as it pertains to the trial of Jason Van Dyke. But first, Judy is going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
Dean Richards joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning at 8:10 with the latest on his girlfriend Betty White, Oak Park's finest, and Henry Winkler's life after winning an Emmy.
Mike Monaco joins us right now wrap up the Jason Van Dyke trial for the day. Would you say this is a good day for the prosecution or the defense?
I think it's a good day for the defense today in certain regards because the expert witness that the prosecution called, his testimony was stricken by the judge, and so that looks like a failure by the state to do that. Secondly, they called Joe Walsh, who was Van Dyke's partner, and while he did say he didn't fire and he pulled his gun but didn't fire, he did say that Laquan McDonald was a threat. Even when he was lying on the ground, he considered him a threat, and that somebody had to stop him. Which is what they're going to be their defense. Somebody had to stop Laquan McDonald.
All right, and there's more to come on this. It's moving fairly quickly, though, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is moving fairly. Well, it's a single incident.
Right.
There's not much to it. I mean, as long as there's no evidence of a cover up where people are talking about what they said in police reports thereafter, and it doesn't look like that's coming in. It looks like it's just this incident. Are they going to call experts? Is Van Dyke going to call experts to say that policemen should have the right to fire their weapon under this circumstance, that he should have fired his weapon?
All right.
We'll see.
We'll see. Trial begins again tomorrow. Mike Monaco, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Monaco, you can find him where all fine lawyers are sold on the internet.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. He's one of the great lawyers in Chicago history.
He is.
We're very proud to have him here with us.